Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I was just, I want to begin a conversation in this program, and probably going to continue in a future program, but about when you think about Olympics, and you think about right now the Olympics are being challenged in regards to the deaths that took place in Russia, and just seems kind of wild to even think about sending any of our Americans over to Russia right now. It's like, are you sending our men and women, our best athletes, to possible harm here? I mean, look what you've stirred up. Look what you've done.
Yeah.
Look who you've empowered. And to Russia. And Putin said, we got everything under control right here. He's like, did you see your train station just blow up? I mean, think about it. That's where they're going to be checking. I think they're going to be coming in that area. But they're, what they're saying was, by the way, just so you understand things, the reports, news reports are that the Muslims in Russia are saying that this Olympics sports are ungodly and they shouldn't be having them there. And so that's what the reports are, that the Muslims in Russia are saying, we don't want this here. Kind of makes you think about, don't we want to keep the Olympics in America? We better really think about what we're doing in the context of embracing those who do not embrace our Constitution and embracing our foundation, our founding principles, which, you know, that particular branch doesn't, because they're saying that it's wrong. But I think about, you know, running a race, you know, how to be able to run a race. And I remember, I think, way back when running a race, I remember chasing, I remember chasing folks in law enforcement. And you have a race. The race is, obviously, you're going to catch someone, hopefully, and there's many more that didn't catch. And their part of the race is to run and not be caught. And but running a race on a track or something of that nature, but running, I mean, think about it. You can run one way or you can run another way. You can run by standing straight up when you start your race, or you can just you know, squat down and get that runner stance, or you can run with certain kind of shoes. You can run barefoot. I mean, there's so many different ways. I mean, the thing about it is, you really want to run in such a way that you're actually going to win, if that's the reason why you're running it. And that's what Paul talks about. Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians about a race, and that's what this is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, when he's talking about it, he's talking about running a race. That this, he compares what we're doing is to a race, and he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Everyone who competes in the game does it with strict training. Think about it. They go into some strict training. They do this, the strict training, to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. What do? Strict training to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, or do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I mean, that's a huge statement. I mean, what message are you hearing in America that says that I go into strict training? As a matter of fact, If the majority of self-professing Christians in America don't even read their Bible, you know what we think about training, right? If we're not even reading the instructions on how to run the race, I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Strict training? There is no strict. You just got to acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God. No, you got to repent and make him the Lord of your life. It's a big difference in acknowledging him just as the Son of God. I mean, he is. But he says that he goes go into strict training. When you think about strict training, that's like a major thing. It's a training and that you're, I mean, think about it. If you're going to go, you know, play football, you're going to go play a sport. They just don't go out on the court or on the field and just suddenly start playing. Those are called fans. Those are fans. You know, they run out there when the game's over and congratulate the players who who go through this, in this very strict, intense training. And what they do is they have to get their bodies to line up with what their desires are. They have to get their body. If they're a racer, they have to learn to get their legs and their hips and the rest of their body and their lungs to function in such a way that gives them the maximum potential. They have to train those areas. In other words, they don't do what their body wants. They do what they want their body to do, mm-hmm. you know? And then you think about a football player in regards to that, the intensity of learning the plays and learning how to run and how to block and how to, you know, do everything you have to do in the context of that. There's more time off the field than on the field.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. There's more time off the field than on the field. And most people, you know, they just see the field. They don't understand what's behind that moment on first base. What's behind that moment on the 50-yard line. What's behind that moment when they cross the finish line on a relay race. But what's behind it is a lot of strict training. And the thing about it is when they run a race, only one person wins the race. Only one team gets the ring in the NFL. I mean, only one. It's like, you know, coming in second for the Super Bowl means you get nothing. You get not ring. You don't get the ring.
Nope.
When you come in second in anything, you're not first. You didn't win.
Mm-mm.
We have a couple little condolences, you know, like here's some bronze stuff and some silver or some coins.
Cricket sound,
yeah. Yeah, but you can look at their faces. They're going like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
Right.
And it's by seconds, like tenths of a second that they're not winning. And you think about it, he's comparing it to running a race or a boxer or a fighter who's fighting. He says, I just don't beat in the air. I'm like focusing in the context of it. And I just want to begin a conversation about that, you know, that we should do this in such a way that we win the prize, that we're focusing on winning the prize. And the prize is a crown. A prize is a crown. And if all the people, somebody that wrote over one half of the New Testament, and if all the things that Paul said, that I don't want to do this thing, I don't want to run this race and fight this fight and preach this gospel, that in the end, I myself am disqualified in. And somebody says, well, that would never happen. Well, did you read what Jesus said?
Hmm.
Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And it sounds like somebody who actually preached about a kingdom that they themselves did not enter into.
Mm.
And people say, well, it's not the kingdom. It's actually a crown. I mean, everybody gets into the kingdom, but it's like the crown. And some people get saved, but they don't get in the kingdom. It's like, dude, I just read the word. That's what Jesus just said. He just said many people are going to come in that day and say that, you know, I preached a gospel that I ran a race and all these things happened in my life that happened in people who win. But the context of it, I didn't win. I didn't do what it required of me to be able to win the race. I mean, isn't that what he's saying right
mm-hmm.
now? It's like, wow. I mean, this is not an idea or a concept. It's like, hey, that's a good idea or a concept. This is like, man, I got to focus here. I mean, you think about it. God focused by offering his son up for us, and Jesus was willing to lay down his life on the cross of Christ. I mean, think about it. In just the right time, God offered up his son. That's pretty intense. That's some stringent willingness to force one's body, even with loud cries and petitions. Although he was a son, he submitted to God. He did what God said. He did not follow his body. And because of that, he became a source for all of us. And now we're supposed to take on the same mindset. We're supposed to run in such a way as to win the prize. And understand that we're seeing people here that ran the race according to Jesus, that even though these things happen in their life, even though they preached a kingdom that was accurate and how they preached it and what happened, that they themselves didn't get it. Make sure you join us in the next program. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. I want to kind of explore this whole concept about running in such a way as to win the prize. We're talking about, I'm going to be talking about, you know, running in such a way, living your life, living our lives in such a way that we're mindful of it. And, it's so important because when you think about it, I guess, you know, what really always did bother me when I heard a lot of things talked about and preached in America was when I went into the Bible and read what God said about it versus what men were saying about it, I was like, this is different. Mm-hmm. This is different. I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to get past what I'm reading. Help me out here. And, of course, the conclusion was, obviously, that God is right. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. And so when I was reading the words here, when you think about it, and I talked about it in an earlier program, but think about it. When you're running a race, if you're going to be a marathon runner, or you're going to be a sprinter, you're going to be a football player, or you're going to be a baseball player, I mean, you train. There's more time behind the scenes in disciplining your body than there is actually on the field of utilizing the techniques and the things that you learned. And this is what people do. People don't show up on the training days. They don't show up when you're not in uniform and when you're out there sweating and you're having to push through your work day and get out to the field and do your training and learn all this classroom stuff about what this kind of play is and that kind of play is and having to your diet had to be right to be able to bring strength to your muscles. And this is real boring, monotonous, yet very strategic thing had to take place for you to be able to be that person that could win.
Yeah.
And so you can't just look at the game. You can't just show up at the game and think that's who that player is. You know, you're seeing what happens because they are who they are. Does that make sense? Because they did what they did, what you can't see, you're seeing something that they can do. They can't. Somebody says, that's just natural. Well, natural means they worked really hard all their life.
That's right.
And the reason why they're running that ball and they're in the NFL, for example, is they've taken a lot of blows. Mm-hmm. They've taken a lot of hits. Mm-hmm. They were willing to face all that and do what it took to be able to do it. So they really, what they're doing is they're running in a certain way. They're running in such a way to win the prize. There's no team out there, no matter what they tell you, in NFL, for example, they're not playing to come in second. They're not playing not to win the ring. I mean, they want to win.
That's right.
There's no 8-track members that are side by side looking at each other going, you know, I'm just at your leave. I'm going to let you go ahead and win this thing. They're running to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running in such a way to win. And it just on and on when you talk about it. And I did talk about the earlier program, but it makes you think of, you know, they run in such a way as to win, but it makes me think of what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 9:24 when he says, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? I mean, he's literally putting a competitive mindset here, and he says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. So only one wins, but everyone goes into strict training, he says. As they do this, which is strict training, to get a crown that will not last. Despite all these gold medals and stuff, he says, but we do it. In other words, he's talking about some sort of athletic event and comparing it in regards to it and what they get. He says, but he comes back and compares it to us as believers. He says, but we do it. What do? We do strict training. We do strict training. He says, we do this training and running in such a way to get a prize. The prize is to get a crown that will last forever, where their prizes don't last forever. Ours last forever. It's a crown. He says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly and do not fight like a man that's beating the air. I mean, you think about aimlessly. Aimless means efforts and meaningless efforts, aimless efforts and actions. There's a lot of aimless activity going on in life in general. But I mean, how many people where's the church?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we doing things aimlessly? I mean, are we just whatever, you know, whatever? And if we're not, you know, think about strict training, if we're not even reading our Bibles, if we're not even concerned about how the race is run,
hello,
it's not even aimless. It could be meaningless. And meaningless, because he goes on to say, no, this is what Paul says. I beat my body. Think about that. This is Paul talking about, I beat my body. I beat my body. So that after I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I mean, that just blows today's doctrines that are outside the Word of God out of the water. And you think, well, he's talking about, listen, everybody gets in. He's not talking about the kingdom here. Everybody gets in. This is what folks say. They say, you know, there's all kinds of things people say. But he's saying, you know, it makes me think, because that's what Paul said. Let's just find out what Jesus said. because this will help us out a little bit. Because that's what Paul said, you know, men know in part and prophesy in part, and God's revealing himself to him, and this is written under the unction of the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, very specifically, going through verse 23, he says, not everyone who runs the race, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. So the gospels that you're hearing, the doctrines that you're hearing, that everybody's going to be saved and everybody's going to enter the kingdom of heaven is not true. It's not, Jesus said it's not true. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does. I mean, think about that word, does. Mm-hmm. The will of my Father who is in heaven is like, does? Does? You mean aimless belief does not work? Beating the air doesn't work? You know, busying myself with darkness, waiting for your return doesn't work? You know what I'm saying? Watching media and playing whatever and doing whatever until you just show up and, you know, I go, I plead the blood, you know? He says, not everyone gets in. He says, many, this is what Jesus is saying now. So it's confirming what Paul's talking about right here. He said, many will say to me on that day, this is the day that he comes back, Lord, Lord, did we not do ministry? Look at this. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. In other words, so then we're understanding then that if we're known by our fruit, then the gifts that God has given us is not our fruit, and nor does it determine whether we're going to enter into the kingdom of God or not, nor does it mean that we're saved. Mm-hmm. Sad to say.
Right.
Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, Jesus says, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, talking to the Pharisees, who do you drive them out by? In other words, they drove them out.
Right.
And they weren't saved.
Right.
And he called them whitewashed tombs. So a whitewashed tomb can drive a demon out. So then he says, I will plainly tell them, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. So I just want to help you with the first perspective in looking at this that kind of challenges me to say, you know what? This is not a concept of how to live a more productive Christian life. This is an expectation of Jesus himself for us to do the will of the Father. And Paul is imparting to us the wisdom and giving us a comparison and saying, you know what? I mean, think about a runner. Think about a boxer. And I'm saying, think about a football player. Think about a baseball player. Look, what you see on the field is one thing. What you see behind that when you see a minister come to a stage or a podium or a radio or whatever, what you're seeing with us right here, this is a sum total of what we've done behind the scenes. This is not what we were doing. This is not it.
Right.
Because you have people like, hey, I'm going to go do it. You got to do what's behind it to get to this point in the context of that. You got to run a race, and there's a race to be ran. And so he says, you know, run in such a way as to win the prize. And there's a prize, and the prize is the crown of life.
Mm.
But think about that, the crown of life. And that's very powerful because when you think about that, that's what God is giving us when we ourselves begin to say, you know what? I want to have the crown of eternal life. I want to live forever in the presence of God. Okay, we'll run in such a way, which means it's not just saying, you know, a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving your life over to God, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and doing his will in view of his mercies to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And it makes me think about, you know, what is the prize? It's a crown. You think about the different crowns. I think about the crown of glory, you know, when in 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 1 and 4, he says, to the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow believer and as a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will suffer in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them because you must, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of God's flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory.
Mm.
Think about that. So when Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away.
Mm.
So when you're looking over God's people, and he tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help him. But let me tell you something. By doing that, you have a crown of glory waiting for you. You have a prize. Run in such a way as to win the prize, to get the crown of glory. Not only the crown of eternal life, the crown of glory. And these are prizes. These are just rewards that God just says, you know, I just want to be able to give you this. And I think about the crown of life. He talks about it in James chapter 1, verse 12. He says, you know, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's not only the crown of glory, but the crown of life. Those who persevere, and in this life, it takes perseverance. I mean, you can be sold out to darkness and call it perseverance. You know, why are you in jail? They say, you know, I mean, because you robbed a bank. That's not perseverance. I'm talking about, you know, staying close to God and you know, obviously, you know, having to repent continually because of our sin nature and all. But understand that. We're going to talk more about that, because I want to talk about the crown of righteousness next, because he says, run in such a way as to win the prize. We're talking about the crown of glory and running in such a way as to win the prize. And he's talking about that. And it's so important, because Jesus is saying, listen, you could do ministry. You can preach a kingdom that you yourself will not enter into. So we want to pay attention that we just can't do what our flesh wants to do. And then there's not consequences for it. You know, we do falter. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. But it's things that we don't want to do. It's not the things that we want to do. But he talks about a crown of righteousness. Here's another prize. A crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 8. He talks about it. It says, This is Paul, he's in prison. He says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. I mean, think about that. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So serving the Lord, doing what he's required of us, and he's in prison when he's saying this, so understand that he said the truth, he spoke the truth, and it cost him his freedom to be able to do that, and he was about to be, you know, beheaded in the context of that, talking about being poured out like a drink offering. But he says, but he's going to get the crown of righteousness from the righteous judge who will award him. That's Jesus. And so you think about that. And he said, those that long, do you long for Jesus' appearing? Or you're one of the ones that says, you know, I hope you don't come back today because I just got a job.
Oh, gosh.
You know, all these different things. Like, are you serious?
I'm not ready to go to heaven.
You know, I still want to have, you know, I want to have kids. You know, these different things.
Oh, like, gosh.
Like, you're delaying the coming of our Lord, as if you could. Because of what you see, we're longing for his coming. We're longing for his coming. He talks about a crown of righteousness. And then there's a victory crown of life. He talks about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison. That's what just happened, you know, Paul that we're talking about, to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Days of 1,000 years and 1,000 years of a day. But be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. So the crown of life, the crown of eternal life, when you think about it. And what will we do with those crowns? When you think about it, you know, what will we do with those crowns? Because you think about that crown then represents, think about this, all these jewels in your crown represents what you did for God. Remember, Jesus said many people will come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? He says, listen, I never knew you. But those that do know him understand that he will remember what you've done, and he will reward you accordingly for what you have done. And he's saying right here, so each of those jewels in your crown are stuff that you're just like, okay, God, I'll give you all this. I'll give you all that. I'm longing for your appearing. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do whatever I need to do, what you told me to do in this season of my life. And he talks about in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, through 11, he says, you know, what do we do with these crowns? What do we do with these crowns? Because a lot of people say, yeah, I got my crown. And I'm like, but think about it. This is what happens. You look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, John is getting this revelation of heaven and what will happen. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice that he had heard first speak, He heard him speaking again like a trumpet. He says, come up here, some things I must show you what must take place. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And I'm feeling my balls right there. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald circle encircled the throne. So you think this rainbow is encircling the throne of God. Surrounding the throne was 24 other thrones, and seated on them was 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. So these crowns of gold were on the head of these elders that were surrounded the throne, which the throne was surrounded by an emerald rainbow with living creatures. Just powerful mm-hmm. things are going on. So these are the crowns. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rambles and pearls of thunder. In front of the throne were seven lamps that were blazing, which are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the thrones were what looked to be like the sea of glass, crystal clear. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first was like that of a lion. The second was like that of an ox. And the third was like that of a face of a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures... talking about the throne of God here. Mm-hmm. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around underneath it. Day after day, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Think about this. And whenever those living creatures would give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him. Think about this. Who lives forever and ever. What do? They laid their crowns before the throne and said, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. And you think about this. Will you have a crown? Will you have the crown of eternal life? Will you have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory? Will you have anything to lay down before him? Did you run in such a way as to win the prize, a crown that would not fade away? Or did you run your whole race for yourself? Did you say, everything's too hard? I'm not going to beat my flesh. I'm not going to tell myself no. I'm going to give myself everything I want. I'm going to justify everything that I do. What happens when you stand before the throne of God and you don't have eternal life, the crown of eternal life? You can't say that if you did not say no to yourself, that means you never said yes to God. He said, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. And if you don't do this, we can have no part of him. It's not about doing something for him. You actually have to bow down and make him the Lord of your life. And then his will is revealed to you. He says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed anymore to the patterns of this world. Start beating your flesh and saying no to yourself, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Find out what God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will is in this process. And you think about it, that when you start loving on folks and helping folks, people themselves are our crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, Paul was talking right here. He says, brothers and sisters, when we were orphans by being separated from you for a short time in person and not being there, out of our intense longing, we made every effort so to be able to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. But what in our hope, our joy, and the crown of which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Think about it. Is it not you? Mm-hmm. Is it not you? See, you are our glory and joy, Paul talks about. And so you think about it. What have you done? What have you done? I mean, this is such an idolatrous culture today. In regards to tell myself no, beat my flesh, disqualify. There's no disqualifying. Jesus said it. Paul said it. But you know what? You can find out today. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today and say, you know what? I am all yours. I'm laying it down for you, Jesus. You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and make Jesus Christ truly the Lord of your life and begin to run this race in such a way as to win the crown of eternal life. So when we stand before Him who is worthy, you'll be able to take that crown off and lay it down and say, worthy, worthy are you, Lord, to receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For everything was created by you and for you and have their being. Jesus, you're everything. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.